Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Welcome back, everyone. We have multiple versions of the intro slide now because Dano threw one together and I put one together and I didn't see where his was, so I threw them both in. So anyway, you got a double intro. I have not seen a quarterback meltdown as bad as Carson Beck did on Friday night since Johnny Manziel had his first regular season game in the NFL. The ACC is wide open, and there's some coaches that are going to get paid to stay right where they are. What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable, or if you prefer, you can call it Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob the Angry Colonel in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, and Trigger Joe from the home of the Big House. How are we doing, guys? What do we watch this weekend? We'll start with Joe, over to Dan, and then over to me. Thanks.
You know, I started my Saturday watching Michigan and what seemed like their first noon kickoff in a while. So I was actually thankful for that because I love getting their games out of the way early. But I will digress for a second so that we don't forget to talk about the Louisville Cardinals, who were two touchdown underdogs going into Miami Gardens Friday night, picking off Carson Beck four times and handing Miami their first loss. It was obviously the monster upset of the week. Michigan handled business with Washington and probably their best performance by Bryce this season, so that was nice to see. I watched Ohio State dog walk Wisconsin for a while until it looked like abuse. Then I turned into Army versus Tulane and watched that heartbreaker of an ending. I really thought they had Tulane on the ropes when they were up by a tutty midway through the fourth, but I also caught our boys, the Fighting Haynes Kings, and Georgia Tech making the As for Football show look smart once again as they go handle business as 2.5-point dogs over Duke. And then Ole Miss and Georgia caught a little bit of Bama versus Tennessee before I called it a night. But it was another phenomenal weekend of college football.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Dano, how about you?
So I watched the Army game, obviously, and it was really hard to focus on anything else while that thing was on because it was crazy. And then after that, you know, I've gotten into this thing where I find myself watching a lot of the American games, and eventually I just had to tune into the crazy ass UAB Memphis game, waiting for the Tigers to like figure it out and wake up. That never happened. I also watched North Texas absolutely shellack UTSA. Yes, I thought that was going to be a good game, but man, North Texas put it on them.
Kept it close for a half.
Yeah, it was good for a half. I mean, listen, UTSA at no point looked like the better team in that game. You know, the score was tied, and they were hanging on by a fingernail. But I feel bad for North Texas last week against USF because I really feel like, you know, the pressure just got to that quarterback in that one big week. But that's a good team. They got a good team. And this is kind of a thing about Army. Like, they've played a lot of good teams pretty well. Yeah. And you can't really see how good the team is because, okay, they got beat by North Texas, but everybody's gotten beat by North Texas. Got beat by Tulane. Everybody's getting beat by Tulane. So I'm not sure what that proves. We'll see next week, you know, after the bye week.
Yeah, they did have them down 7, and Army was getting 12.5 points at one point.
Yeah.
So to me, that's a statement right there because they did that to Michigan when they played it. The last game I was at where I saw Army play Michigan. They were huge dogs and took it to double overtime.
Yeah. I mean, Kansas State too. So yeah, it was crazy weekend. But it was during the Army game. And then afterwards I was just kind of all over the place. So I can't say that I really focused on anything, but those games in the American really caught my attention. And especially the ending of that Memphis game. Like I kept thinking that they would figure it out and that is not what happened.
Yeah, I think it's a 4-team race right now in the American. Sadly, you've got Tulane and Navy and USF and Memphis, and thank goodness they got to play each other, right? Because if they weren't playing each other, I think it would be a little bit more controversial. But I think they'll settle it on the field, which makes it nice. I started off my Friday. I watched some of the other midweek games. So now it's it's Conference USA weekday is what they're calling it now. So rather than having Maction during the week, you have Conference USA weekday. So you're going to have Conference USA games during the week. Watched a couple of those. I watched Jackson State look pretty good. I didn't realize that they had the number one rusher in the country, man. Like,
wow.
Yeah. Like, and the dude's a beast. Like, he is a great running back and probably would start at any school. So, be prepared to see him somewhere else next year, because the guy's solid. But, you know, watch the Friday night game. Like, look, Haynes King threw, I think it was like actually six picks. And then they had a couple of them where there was laundry on the field.
Carson Beck.
Yeah. So Carson Beck threw, like, I think it was at least four that were reported. He had one that got picked up because of a penalty. So he got lucky, because he like, hey, you don't give the ball to the other team. That's basically what was it. We saw some decent, defensive contests throughout the rest of the day. But again, to pile on what Joe said, it's nice to have the validation of like everyone in America finally catching up with what we already knew here on Husker football, that Haynes King and Georgia Tech they're a very good team. I would be surprised, you know, if they don't run the stretch, or at least are in the driver's seat for the ACC championship now, as at the halfway point. Right, it was an excellent appetizer for the rest of the weekend. I'm glad Bama and Tennessee lived up to the hype, because I didn't want it to be too lopsided. But, you know, I think Tennessee has to lock down Bama more than every other year in order to be considered a serious contender in the SEC. I mean, I think that's really like – that's their kryptonite, you know, and we'll see.
They're just not that close against the upper portion of the SEC.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they lose to Georgia. The game is like moderately competitive for the first half. It's very competitive for the first half, but they got run off the field in the second half, lose to Alabama in convincing fashion. I mean, it's frustrating to be a Tennessee fan.
Yeah. Well, that and Ole Miss too, right? Cause I think those are the two teams that are like champions in waiting, for lack of a better term. And, you know, they have great coaching staffs. They have great schemes. They just can't get over the hump, and that's unfortunate. Yeah. But speaking of getting over the hump, we have somebody that will get you over the hump and get you into a new home, and that is Jocelyn Bradley. So if you are PCSing to Fort Bragg, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn Bradley is a member of the Long Gray Line, and that's a point of emphasis because I had to add that. And she served as an Army logistics officer, where she honed her passion for impacting lives. Now, as a dedicated realtor, she brings the same commitment to you while you're trying to find your dream home. She provides exceptional personalized service and a seamless home buying experience that's tailored to your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, Jocelyn has an extensive network of trusted veteran realtors that span the country, and she's ready to support you wherever your PCS takes you. So whenever you're relocating or just moving, pick up the phone, call Jocelyn. She will help find somebody that can help you in her network, a professional of integrity in any market. As a proud supporter of Husker football this season, as she is in her second year, Jocelyn is the realtor that you can trust to guide you to your new home. Reach out today and let her make your next move effortless. On to the Service Academy statics, Dano, if you don't mind.
I am happy to do it. Army, as we know, lost, alas, to the Tulane Green Wave 24-17. Their season is not over, but they now, you know, the best they can do is to hit 8-4. Honestly, 6-6 is going to take some work. They got to win, what is it, three of their next four to make a bowl game. I mean, they essentially have no breathing space anymore. This week, we got a bye to prep for the first Commander-in-Chief's game against Air Force, which is the first Saturday in November. Yeah, man, we've seen Army in the record catching up, but that they got to find something or they're going to be in some trouble. Navy was 6-0 after the bye week. It's interesting because we've been thinking that they really were going to get stomped by Memphis or Tulane or whatever, but then Memphis drops one to UAB and also, oh, by the way, loses their starting quarterback. So who knows, man? Maybe the Mids will wind up hosting that American Conference Championship game after all. Certainly they have the opportunity now. And Air Force rises to 2-5 after eking out a win against Wyoming. I thought that defense was improved. They forced two turnovers. I watched a decent amount of that game. The Cowboys, though, ran for 200 yards and still sort of couldn't control the game, which was weird. And Coast Guard remains at 5-1 after knocking off MIT 24-14. They take on Norwich in New London this weekend. And for the Merchant Marine Academy, they are 5-1 after defeating South Bay Regina 38-34. They're in Springfield next week. And as we've said, Flow Sports has these regular season games. And the Secretary's Cup for these two FCS service academies, getting some great publicity, being played at Fenway Park. It will be broadcast on the Plus. So that's good.
Yeah, I think that's super cool that they're starting to get some attention, even if it is on ESPN Plus. So we've got weekly awards this week, and we have been working very, very hard to give you guys a little bit of action. So the first one is, as always, the Blue Falcon, but we'll see who's in the College Football Annals of Infamy.
Look, it's the Blue Falcon.
Joe, over to you.
I love the ooze. I hate to do this one because it's not altogether fair to put a loss on one player. However, when you're the quarterback for a top five team in this day and age in college football, chances are you're being paid to win. So having said that, I think we all were watching Miami versus Louisville on Friday night, or most of us were. Miami's defense played longer and better than maybe they've played all season and literally kept Miami in the game over and over and over again. The problem is that transfer quarterback Carson Beck, who going into the game was a Heisman hopeful and probably a finalist if the season was to end before Friday night, Carson Beck is most definitely one of those big name quarterbacks from the transfer portal that is absolutely getting NIL money and expected to win. And instead of complimenting his defense, he threw not two, not three, but four picks, and realistically should have been five. That was easily the biggest reason Miami lost. And when you're transfer superstar NIL getting money quarterback, you simply cannot be the reason for your team's loss. For those reasons, Carson Beck, you have to be the Blue Falcon this week.
Thanks, Joe.
He'll bounce back. He's a great kid.
I drank a beer.
And on to the Hold My Beer.
Fantastic. The week. Now, the obvious answer for this week's Hold My Beer moment would be Monty Quinn from Curry College for breaking the D3 single game rushing record with a performance that you only see on NCAA football in 03 on PS2. When his day was finished, he had 20 carries for 522 yards and touchdowns of 30, 58, 64, 78, 84, and 85. Having said that, I just gave the kid his flowers and the level of competition comes into consideration for this segment. I'm sorry. For that reason, I want to talk about a game we haven't mentioned, and that is the LSU-Vanderbilt game. And what I saw from Vandy's leader on the field again in a big game. Rumor has it that when questioned, now I can't verify this, was posed to how Vandy was going to win to senior quarterback Diago Pavia. You guessed it. He said, hold my beer, watch this. He then put on a performance for the highlight reels with only 160 yards passing and a touchdown, but no picks. He also added 86 yards on the ground and two more key touchdowns for the Commodores of Vanderbilt to win 31-24 over that then number 10 LSU and thrusting Vandy into the top 10. So Diego Pavia, that was one heck of a moment that I would have gladly held your beer for.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I think that's interesting that Diego Pavia is just quietly playing a great season.
You know, I love it.
And I think that's one of the things that is always kind of distracting in college football is either you have too much preseason hype or not enough. You know, there's got to be a balance somewhere in the middle. And there's some great athletes out there that aren't getting noticed. And, you know, they're playing great, but they're just not getting noticed. And it's just because, you know, we all have our biases, unfortunately. And so we're going to lean towards the teams that we typically pull for. But then, you know, we are amateur service. We are not a professional, you know, newsmaking organization. However, there are some professional newsmaking organizations that are in the tank on teams for the preseason and refuse to let that bone go regardless of what their record looks like. And that's always frustrating to me. You know, that's always frustrating to me, but here's one that's not too frustrating. If you've watched enough games, these things kind of play out the way they're supposed to. Joe, could you give us the top 10 this week? Thanks.
Absolutely. Usual suspect at number one, we got the Ohio State Buckeyes. They have a stranglehold on the number one spot after going to Madison and pimp slapping Wisconsin 34-0 on their home field. Even the bye week lines up perfect for Ohio State as they have no game on Saturday. Number two, we have the Indiana Hoosiers bumping up a spot as they handled Michigan State at home 38-13. Indiana plays UCLA on Saturday. And I do believe that's when UCLA discovers gravity and comes crashing back down to earth. Indiana is a 24.5-point favorite. Number three, we got the Aggies of Texas A&M. They just keep rising. They hold the third spot after going on the road to Arkansas and winning in a shootout 45-42 in a battle of phenomenal quarterbacks between Marcel Reed and Talon Green. Or is it? It's either Talon or Taron. But A&M travels to play the number 20 LSU Tigers in Death Valley on Saturday. Texas A&M is a 2.5-point favorite. And number four, we got Bama bumping up two spots. The Tide just keep winning as they added another ranked opponent to their hit list with a 37-20 win over number 11 Tennessee. Alabama travels to South Carolina, where they are a 2-touchdown favorite on Saturday. At number five, we got Georgia making a big jump up four spots. The Bulldogs had the opportunity to state their case as a top five team, and they did not waste it. The final read is Georgia 43, Ole Miss 35, in what was an absolute war. I said last week that Ole Miss better bring more than they brought against Washington State, because I believe that that Georgia team was getting ready to find its rhythm. And after that win, I would say they have. Georgia is off on Saturday. At number six, we got Oregon up two spots. Now, this is a jump for Oregon, I do understand, after going to Piscataway and destroying Rutgers 56-10 on their home field. Oregon has Wisconsin coming to town. I'm sure the Badgers are thrilled with that trip after being Ohio State's punching bag for four quarters. Oregon is a 34.5-point favorite. At number seven, we have Georgia Tech up five spots. The Fighting Haynes Kings is their new nickname, are finally in the top 10. Colonel Rob with an absolute legendary call to look out for Georgia Tech this season in week zero. If they're not looking now, then nothing can help them. The whole panel on the show said Georgia Tech was going to, at worst, cover plus 2.5 last week, and the final read was 27-18 over Duke. Looks like we were right again, shocker. Tech will play Syracuse on Saturday, where they are a 17.5-point favorite. That game could get dicey. At number eight, we got Ole Miss down three spots. The Rebels fought the good fight on Saturday with current number five Georgia, but came up short 43-35, as I said. And they really shouldn't hang their head, and not to mention they don't have time to hang their head. They traveled to Oklahoma on Saturday, where they are a 4.5-point dog. I disagree with that line. At number nine, we got Miami taking the biggest fall in the top 10, going from 2-9. In one poorly played game against Louisville, four interceptions won't get it done against anybody. And that could have cost Carson Beck his Heisman candidacy. Miami has the true definition of a get-right game on Saturday with Stanford coming to town. They are a 30-point favorite currently. At number 10, we got Vanderbilt jumping up seven spots. The Commodores were home dogs against LSU and came out with a chip on their shoulder and a point to prove. 31-24, point proven. Vanderbilt is for real. They're going to be tested again on Saturday as Doak Walker Award favorite Ahmad Hardy and the number 15 Missouri Tigers come to town. Vandy is a 2.5-point favorite in that game.
Yeah, I think that Vandy game of the top 10 list, I think Vandy and Missouri is going to be a good one. I think Mizzou's got a good running game. And I'll tell you, that one, and then, of course, you know, not listed is Penn State. They're continuing to free fall. Like, how does this happen? Like they look good for the first half, and then, like, they just let it slip away from them. And again,
amazing collapse, honestly.
They lost that locker room. You know how many five stars are out there? Those guys don't want to be there. And that sucks, because that sucks for everybody, fans and players alike.
Yeah, that's failure of epic proportions. So we're at 42 losses since the start of the season in the top 25, which is just nuts. And it's going to get worse. The bloodletting is going to continue, because we're going to start having a lot more ranked on ranked matchups, particularly as we get deeper into conference play. As noted, Miami dropped one to Louisville. Minnesota beat Nebraska. Like, that was another one, man. You know, great value. Mahomes got taken to the woodshed by PJ Fleck. They rolled the boat all over Nebraska, and it was pretty bad.
Well, I went into the text thread on how I feel about the Rayola crew. You can see it on that kid's face. I watched that game. That is a stinger for Nebraska. They were supposed to win that game. They had just gotten ranked, not anymore. And I saw him on the sidelines at the end of the game, and it's like, dude, I know that kid. He hasn't changed. He's just effing around. I got my money. My fault. He limps out of every game. I'm not a fan. I think he's overrated. Yeah.
Well, I think the other part of it is this is why PJ Fleck hasn't lost his job in Minnesota, right? It's for
him. 8-4 is good enough.
Yeah, it's games like that get him, keep him in position. You know, sure. LSU dropped to Vandy. We already talked about that. Georgia and Ole Miss. Bama beating Tennessee. ASU beat Texas Tech. That was a surprisingly good game. I watched the back half of that, and it was impressive, man. Like, I think but the other part of it is Texas Tech had the freshman, you know, had their freshman QB in, and he's looked great most of the season until that game. And I think Arizona State just had a little bit better defensive scheme. You know, Notre Dame beat USC, you know, at like, could both of these teams lose? Cause like, I would appreciate that, cause I'm not a fan of either one of those squads. And then of course, Memphis dropping the game to UAB. I think, you know, ball security is what killed Memphis in that one. You know, like that's something that you practice every day, and to lose it like that, it was bonkers. Anyway, we'll move on.
Wait. As long as we're discussing Arizona State, I would like to point out Kanye Udo, 0 carries for 0 yards for Arizona State.
We talked about him just before you came on, Dan, on how how leaving Army might not have been the best decision.
I mean,
God bless, but I don't know, man. I wouldn't. Yeah. I was telling Colonel Rob, I was like, the reunions would be what I'm thinking about.
I would bet you $5 that he will be at a different university somewhere in the group of five next season.
Yeah. And if that's not the case, like, I don't know. I mean, and if you're watching the pros, here's the thing that we truly know, like, Cam Scadaboo is a generational player, right?
Oh my God.
You know, we know that now, you know, like at first you were like, oh, maybe he was just good for the, you know, for the Big 12. You know, and now that we were watching him freaking steamroll dudes in the NFL, then you're like, okay, that guy's a generational athlete. You know,
he may only last 4 years, but you know,
hanger. Both of my teams lost in exactly the same way this week. And it was just by the end of that Giant game, I was just stunned. I was like, I never want to watch football again. This is unbelievable. I know this isn't a pro football show, but God, did you guys see the ending of that Giant game?
That was pretty rough.
Epic. It was disgusting.
It was in 19 points in the fourth quarter. That's like historic.
Yeah,
like, but I was a fan of the 0-16 Lions, so
yeah, like that was a nightmare scenario. But speaking of nightmare scenarios, we're going to talk about it a little bit. So, which conference do you think is going to send more than one team to the 12 team playoff, and why? You know, I mean, I understand like sports writers have an SEC bias. You know, we have an American Conference bias because we cover American Football Conference, right? Like, we're going to be honest here. I think there's other, you know. There's advocacy journalism, and then there's like completely losing your professional integrity for being in the tank for a team. But like, honestly, like right now at the way the season looks, we're roughly about halfway. Everybody's played 6 or 7 games. What do you guys think? We'll start with Dano, go to Joe, and then I'll wrap up with who do you think is going to send multiple reps to the playoff? If the playoff were to held today, like, who do you think? Go for it.
All right. So first off, I appreciated that you called them, instead of conferences, you called them broadcast rights collectives on social media. That was a shout out to all of our offseason podcasts. Those are still in the vault if you guys want to go back and listen to those. So I guess the question is, who besides the SEC and Big Ten can get multiple teams in? Interesting question. So right now, I think that the Big 12 has got 3 candidates. Number 11, BYU, number 21, Cincinnati, and number 14, Texas Tech. And BYU, I think, has an excellent case, provided that they don't stumble, but they probably have the toughest road ahead of them. I mean, they're at Iowa State this week, which I would not call a gimme by any means. Baylor's at Cincy, which is also a very interesting game. BYU then also plays both Cincinnati and Texas Tech. So if they win out, I think they have an excellent chance to be not only go to the playoff, but to be ranked pretty highly. So the question is, can Cincinnati or Texas Tech, and considering Texas Tech lost this past weekend, they now have less sort of wiggle room, but can Cincinnati sort of win a couple of games, maybe win that BYU game? And if Cincy beats BYU and then BYU wins the Big 12, maybe both those teams go? I think Cincy has the easiest schedule going forward. So that's my answer.
Yeah. All right, Joe, how about you?
You know, I actually think that multiple conferences will send multiple teams. Obviously, like Daniel mentioned, the big boys. Right now, the Big Ten has 3 top 10 teams. The SEC's got 5. The ACC's got a pair in Tech and Miami. So I definitely believe the Big Ten and the SEC will both send multiple teams. And like, say, if the unthinkable happened in Michigan, won out, that would create a lot of havoc, given Ohio State their only loss. Now, I know that would be a nightmare scenario for a Buckeye fan, but it has happened before. But my thing with the playoff, to where I don't really have a problem with the end result, is in my opinion, with 12 slots to fill, there's no way that a team that actually has a shot to run the gauntlet will get left out. You know what I mean? I think that because the playoffs were the ultimate truth teller last year. Teams like SMU, and Indiana kind of got exposed. Like, all right, see you later. Not Indiana. Who's the other team I'm thinking of? Was it Indiana? They got embarrassed in the first round.
Boise State.
Yeah, Boise State, maybe.
Yeah. And so we haven't seen a Cinderella team make a run in the playoffs yet. But to answer Dano's question, with the money that Texas Tech has spent on their roster, I heard somewhere in the eight figures with no decimal point. I believe they're going to be deep enough if they have a healthy quarterback to make a run from the teams that he mentioned. Because they have a deeper defensive roster, and we've seen that in the playoffs. These teams that play with a two deep like Ohio State does, the backup is a stud, and so they eventually the teams get tired of playing these games over and over and over again because they're not as deep as a team like Ohio State. So I don't have a problem with the way the playoffs gonna work out, but I think that the ACC might sneak two teams in. If Georgia Tech and Miami can both win out, I'm not sure when they play each other.
That Miami loss just makes it so easy to shit on the whole conference, unfortunately.
Oh God, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and it wasn't just a bad game. It was like a really bad game.
Well, the defense played
everybody watching. Yeah. With everybody watching,
they kept them in the game to where I couldn't believe they deserved to be down by 25 the way their offense was playing.
Yeah. They played like hot garbage. And then for me, like if you look at the unbeaten teams right now, Big 12 has one. That's BYU. The American has one. That's Navy. Big 10, you know, Indiana and Ohio State. SEC is Texas A&M, surprisingly. And the ACC is Georgia Tech. Like the real question is, which one of these guys runs the gauntlet and who's the number two, right? And as a body of work, do we take the, you know, the runner-up and the championship for those respective conferences to round it out? To get the at-large bids, or do we, you know, or do we focus in on other opportunities? Because there's a pretty strong chance that the SEC champ might have one loss, you know, so we may have Georgia and Bama playing in the SEC championship, and the winner of that game will, you know, the loser has two losses, the winner has one loss and goes into the playoff. So I think that's potentially that could happen. I think, you know, if Indiana can dodge the bullet and, you know, stay undefeated until they reach the conference championship and then lose to the Buckeyes, I think the honest truth is, like, right now Ohio State's probably one of the best teams in the country.
They're the best.
Yeah. Well,
it's hard just for me because, to say that, but they are.
Well, based off of their defense, it's not even their offense that's the most impressive part of that team. It's the defense. Like, I think they're averaging, I want to say it's close to, like, 6.5 points a game.
I will say this. They need to stop with the Julian saying is the leader for the Heisman. He's throwing to two guys who will be gone on night one of the NFL draft. Okay. He's good, but he ain't the best quarterback in the nation yet.
Yeah. Well, look at it this way. If you want to find the best receiver room in college football, look at freaking Ohio State right now.
Over the last 10 years.
Look at Carnell Tate's numbers. Like, his numbers are getting better because they keep double and triple teaming Smith, right? So, I mean,
you're poison.
But the good part about it is, like, if you're an Ohio State fan, like, you've got some talent to watch for another year before those guys are eligible for the draft. And I really, really hope that Haynes King, like, can run the table. Like, I was impressed with this guy. He's a gutsy player. He's like the quarterback that you want to play. He's a throwback dude. You know what another I mean? Like, he runs the ball
through the air with two TDs and 100 on the ground with another TD on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the kind of guy that, like, I think most college football programs would want. I would not be surprised if Notre Dame tried to poach him, because they've had the tendency to try and poach. You know, Notre Dame has poached the top quarterback in the ACC every year. I'm surprised they didn't approach him in the offseason.
Working out for him too.
Yeah, smart. You know, I mean, like, I don't blame him, you know, but I think that will be interesting. And I think, you know, the anomaly of the two loss team may not happen this season, you know, but it could. And I think, you know, does a one-loss American champion, and this is a, you know, sub-question to the topic today, does a one-loss American Conference champion make it into the playoff? Do they have to be undefeated?
No.
If it's Tulane, you're going to bang them for losing a game to Ole Miss? Because a lot of teams have lost games to Ole Miss.
Yeah. Well, and that's – that. Therein lies it.
I think Dano has the point. It depends on your loss. But yeah. I think if you run the table in the American, that should you should get the respect of getting it.
Yeah, because the Americans is a pretty tough conference. Like I think we can say that now that the competition has evolved in the American. Like hey, the motto "Built to Rise" is absolutely accurate because sure. the football that they're playing this season is pretty impressive. And speaking of someone that is impressive, we have an impressive person that can get you into your next mortgage. Over to Dan for the next read.
Friends, Craig Oxane sponsors this show. He is an area sales manager for the Money Store and a mortgage broker. He is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. Friends, he is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He's going to offer you super competitive rates and give you the best deal that he possibly can. This is important because the mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates move all over the place, and it's just not the time when you're trying to buy a house and do all this stuff and get it inspected and sign all these contracts. You don't want to deal with some clown who just wants to make a buck off you. Like, that is not the way to go. Deal with someone who cares. Not a call center, random big box bank, get a mortgage from china.com, whatever. Don't do it that way. Instead, go to somebody you can pick up the phone and call, and they'll actually answer your call. And this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we're helping you to get a best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That is a gigantic savings, like $1,300. Guys, save yourself $1,300. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager at the Money Store. Check him out. The link is on our website, or you can just Google it. Good luck with his spelling his name, though. Go to askforfootball.com. He's got a business card there. So does Jocelyn. Click on either of those things and you'll be talking to either of them in a couple of hours. Find your house and get it mortgaged. That's what we do here at AFF.
Awesome. Hey, so we've got a new sounder this week to introduce. American Games of the Week. Hey, I work really hard
on it. It's one of my favorite songs ever written. I swear to God it is. I know it word for word. I'm the biggest Rocky nerd you'll ever meet.
Yeah, awesome. So American Games this week, you got UNT at Charlotte, you got USF at Memphis, UConn at Rice, Temple at Tulsa, FAU at Navy. Dano, which one should we be watching?
You know, we talked about this on the Army show last night just because we were trying to kill some time. And I said yesterday, Temple at Tulsa, and I continue to think that that's an interesting game. UConn at Rice, though, not so much because of Rice, but dude, don't look now, but UConn is 5-1. They can get bowl eligible this week with a month to play in the season. How about that? Win at Rice. That team is going to fuck around and excuse my language, but wind up in the Big 12 within the next 5 years, I think.
Only yes. Daddy talks that way.
I got to say, it's also possible that they'll wind up in the ACC as a basketball fit. That might make more sense, but one of those two seems pretty likely.
Yeah. Well, here's the other question, and this is completely random before we go into the games of the week, but do we legitimately think that Memphis is ever going to get the nod, or are they stuck in the American forever? Because, I mean, they've been getting shot down every time they've tried to do their own conference realignment, and maybe now is the time for them just to win out.
I'm frustrated with this from both Memphis and Tulane fans. Memphis, I've never been to their stadium, and in fact, I don't know how big it is. I'm going to say that they probably have some money, but dude, you cannot lose at home to UAB. Like, that's, I guess they were on the road, but you can't lose to UAB. Like, that's insane. I understand that a lot of stuff happened that was pretty unfortunate, but no. You know, you can't get beat by Navy and get beat by UAB. No, that's just not how that's going to go. And, you know, and with Tulane, like, that stadium seats 30,000 people and they can't even fill it, like, with Army in town. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So, I mean, if you're going to be a Power 4 conference, you have to have, I mean, 60,000 people in there every week, yeah, right? I mean, that's true. Come on now.
I mean, yeah, if we're talking about, you know, broadcast conglomerates, you've got to be able to put butts in seats.
Absolutely.
Right. Speaking of butts in seats, hey y'all, check it out. We've got college football tonight. So you got Kennesaw State at FIU kicking at 7 at ESPN2. And then you got the Hilltoppers and Louisiana Tech at 7:30 on CBS Sports Network. You got games on Wednesday, Middle Tennessee at Delaware, Missouri State and New Mexico State. That's 7:30 and 9 o'clock respectively. Moving in on Thursday, we got Thursday games too. Like, wow, they're like pounding them out. So you got ESPN2, South Alabama and Georgia State, 7:30 tomorrow or on Thursday. And then Friday, you've got the early American matchups of North Texas at Charlotte, 7 on ESPN2. You got California at Virginia Tech. You also got Sprint Plan. They'll be on Night Vision and on YouTube, so make sure that you check those guys out. I think they're doing a cross promotion with one of the other Black Knight Network of podcasts, so be on the lookout for that. Saturday, talking noon kicks, you got USF at Memphis. Like, if you're not watching that one, I don't know if you're a fan of football. I think that's going to be a really good game. You got a great quarterback against a team that has to rebound. Like, they have no choice. So Memphis has got to pull it out of that nosedive. Hopefully they'll sell a couple more tickets because of Dan Shaming. And,
hey, listen, can they start? Is their starting quarterback going to be back? Because if they've got the true freshman out there, I don't know that they're going to even be competitive, honestly.
Yeah, like it could turn into a track meet. Who knows? Also at the 12 o'clock kick, so you got UCLA at Indiana. I think that'll be a great game. I think Indiana is the better team, but we'll see what UCLA is able to cook up because they've been putting up some offense the last couple of weeks.
It's 24 and a half.
Yeah.
You know, Cignetti loves teams that got hype behind them. He hangs big numbers on teams like Illinois. Yeah. Like if it gets out of hand, it could get really out of hand.
Yeah. Well, and the other part of it is like he just signed an $8 million contract, so he ain't going nowhere.
Trust me, I hope UCLA wins. I really do, just to create a bunch of havoc.
That's a fair point. You got Ole Miss at Oklahoma. That's kicking at noon on ABC. Syracuse and Georgia Tech at noon on ESPN. I think those are all three are going to be really good games. Yeah, Virginia, which is quietly, they only have one loss. They're playing against North Carolina. They're gonna, you know, unfortunately, put another nail in Bill Belichick's coffin. Moving on to the late afternoon kicks, you got UConn at Rice. I think that'll be a good game. We'll see if they get bowl eligible. But Rice has been pretty good. I mean, you've got a running game versus a, you know, kind of a little bit more open offense. Big
spread on that game too, with UConn's favored. So
yeah, it should be interesting. That'll be a good contest to watch. You got UMass at Central Michigan. We're going to give Coach Drinkle his flowers because they did pretty well last week, and I think they're going to continue. I think they're one or two
bowl eligibility, right?
I think they're two games away from bowl eligibility.
All right.
This will get them one rung closer up the ladder. You got Florida Atlantic at Navy. I mean, FAU, you know, you never know what you're going to get. Sometimes they play well, sometimes they don't. It's going to be an interesting one. You got BYU at Iowa State. We'll see if old Rocco Beck can like make some noise. They're unranked, so like that would really hurt BYU to lose an unranked matchup at Iowa State. So you got Missouri and Vanderbilt. Like, look, I think Vandy is better on the road, to be honest. I haven't looked at the stats, but I think they're better on the road, rising to competition when they go someplace rather than playing at home. We'll see what happens. Let's see. You got Baylor at Cincinnati. We already talked about that one. Got Texas at Mississippi State. That one should be a drubbing, but like, hey, look, you know, there's been some super inconsistencies with, you know, like we don't even talk about him anymore. Arch Manning is like an also ran at this point. We'll see what happens. You got Michigan at Michigan State. That used to be a great rivalry game, but nobody cares anymore. Not because Michigan's not playing. It's because Michigan State is terrible.
Number 25, Michigan. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's right. They did crawl into the rankings, which is good. See if they can hold on to that slot. They probably should against it's the
doomed historically. So
yeah, against Sparty. Like that's
I was at that game. I was at the surrender. He's got trouble with the snap. My cousin, retired a Detroit police officer in one of the worst areas of Detroit to work, went catatonic. He was standing next to me. We were at the game. And all of a sudden, this guy's rumbling down the sidelines, and we're frozen. We let them. I kept saying, we let them hang around too long. We let them hang around too long. Because it was Kirk Cousins was the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like that last play. I was like, what do we do? And I was like, man, just give it to Jabril Peppers. Tell him to run around until someone gets close, then kick it out of bounds. Like, they could have done anything but what they did. Happened to the most unathletic, NARP-like player we have in our Australian rules kicker and have him make a play. Yeah, I'm still a little jaded about it.
Yeah, you think? It was rough. So make sure that you add those to your to your card. Joe gets a little triggered about Michigan. So that is on your bingo card. Make sure you strike that one off. You got Texas A&M at LSU. That's a 7:30 kick.
That's always a good game every year. It's just insane. What a random rivalry in the SEC.
Yeah. Like, check in for that
one. Say it again.
Texas A&M at LSU.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be solid, especially with LSU coming off that loss.
Yeah, and then, of course, the nightcap is going to be, I mean, at least, you know, the Pac-12 After Dark has kind of moved to 10 o'clock, which is a little bit more reasonable these days. So you've got Colorado at Utah kicking at 10:15 on ESPN. But now it is time to move on to our
weekly locks.
All right, what are we picking, fellas?
So I went 1-2 again this week. I took Wyoming at Air Force over 58.5, and I felt good about that pick. And they scored like 30 points combined. What an insane game. What a week for Air Force to find some defense. I also took North Texas -4 at home versus UTSA. That one paid, obviously. And then I took Memphis -21.5 at UAB. Facepalm. I mean, I don't even know what to tell you. Unbelievable. UAB ran for 200 yards in that game.
Yeah, that's gross.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
This week, give me Ole Miss +5.5 at Oklahoma. That's probably the stupidest pick I'm going to make all year, but what can you do? K-State +3 at Kansas. I am a believer that K-State is going to bounce back and find some identity at some point this season, and I think that this might be that week. I don't know why I think that, but it's been my conviction all year. And finally, Temple -5.5 at Tulsa. I have no idea why Tulsa fans think that their team is about to go on a run. I think the Owls are going to kick their ass.
Yeah, that's fair. Joe, how about you?
I went 3-0. Thank you, North Texas, as Dano said, of a covering in a blowout. And then Mizzou won against Auburn. And Georgia freaking Tech handled business covering his dogs. Even still, I can't get Dano to come off that fourth pick, so I have three more for you this week. All right. As Dano said, this is not a gimme game, but if you're gimme 2.5 points, I'll take BYU +2.5 at Iowa State. After melting down at Colorado, something isn't right at Iowa State. And with BYU just did to Colorado or to Utah, I'll take the undefeated Cougars getting points all day. Take BYU +2.5 to win this game outright for plus money. I like them 31-17. And then not a stupid pick in my opinion, because once again, I'm tailing one of Dano's. Give me Ole Miss. And if it's +5.5, I'll take that point at Oklahoma. I watched Oklahoma multiple times this season with and without John Mateer. And I'm telling you that one player does make a big difference and he's not healthy. I like Ole Miss in a bounce back spot here. They were in that Georgia game for the entirety of it. And I don't think they lose 2 in a row on the road. Give me the Rebs to cover 4.5 in a mild upset 34-32 over the Sooners. And then I like Cincinnati -4.5 versus Baylor at home. This Baylor, look, I believe that they really have it cooking over there in Cincinnati. They have one loss, and their quarterback is, I know it's a B, I want to say Brent Sorsby, has 17 touchdowns and one pick. Wow. Baylor plays too sloppy and undisciplined to play with this Cincinnati team, and we just saw it against TCU. Again, I think this is an easy cover. Take the Bearcats in a route 34-20.
All right. Thanks, Joe. What's going to be funny is you're going to hear something that you've heard already before. So I went 3-0 this week. Took Jackson State to cover 2.5 against Delaware. They won 38-25. I low-key didn't know that, like I said, Jackson State has the number one rusher in the country. Georgia Tech to cover the win. I think they had like 2.5 touchdowns rather than 2.5 points most of the game. And then the minus the score in garbage time. And then Central Michigan 5.5 against Bowling Green. Bowling Green got a bunch of penalties and turnovers. And hey, look, I needed the positive movement, so I'll take it. I'll take the wins as I can get them. This week, Ole Miss +4.5 against Oklahoma. Wow, that sounds like a drumbeat. And hey, look, folks, we do not look at each other's picks before we enter them in the outline. So just so you know, and this is what I'll say, Lane Kiffin rarely drops back-to-back SEC games unless those teams are Georgia and Alabama. They're going to win this one straight up, you know, for all the other previous things that were said. Now, this is a different one. I'm kind of going against the drumbeat of the season so far.
But yeah, this is a nutty pick. I'm just going to tell you up front.
I think Syracuse will cover 17.5 against Georgia Tech. Oof. Georgia Tech is winning, but they're not blowing people out, you know, and they consistent. They'll win by 10. I don't think they'll win by 17 plus points. Just a thought. I think Syracuse is good enough to keep the game close, but
it's not insane. I've seen Syracuse do some weird stuff.
Yeah, and there's always garbage time, and that's usually when they get the backdoor cover.
The old backdoor cover.
Yeah, so I think that's probably what's going to happen. And then I'm going to ride this train on Bowling Green again, unfortunately. Take Kent State to cover 8.5 against Bowling Green. Bowling Green has a lot of talent, and they've got, you know, Eddie George is a head coach. The problem with it is they have zero discipline on the field. So
wait a minute. Eddie George coaches Bowling Green?
Yes, he does.
Dude, I got to start watching them. He's my favorite player of all time.
Yeah,
so Eddie George. Know that.
Yeah, Eddie George.
You want to hear your crazy random fact about college football that I heard today?
What's that?
A running back has won when the last number of the year is five, dating all the way back to 1955.
Oh, dang.
Every 10 years, it's been a running back.
Oh, wow.
Eddie George was 95.
Yeah.
AP was, I want to say, 05. Bush was 15. No, Bush was 05. And Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Oh, 15. Yeah.
It was 2015.
So he was the last running back to win it 10 years ago.
All right. So those of you guys that are betting on the Heisman Trophy, start sinking that cash on the freaking running backs. I guess that's what's going
to
happen.
Just gave it to you.
Hey, so we're at the end of the show. I got a favorite thing, and my favorite thing is going to be like do local stuff, right? So this weekend we went out to a local haunted house. So they do a haunted hayride. It's like $20. You do a haunted hayride, and then you do the corn maze that's full of zombies, ghosts, and all that other crazy stuff. And then we hit a small convention on Sunday that's local at the local Coliseum, and you know, got to meet some interesting people and talk about some cool stuff. So if you are thinking about doing something over the weekend and it has nothing to do with the college football, support a local business, man. Like they need your help. And you know, that's kind of how things get done. You might meet somebody that's kind of cool and, you know, may make a friend, who knows. But for the crew here at the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable, or you can just call us Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob, the Angry Colonel in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of coastal Connecticut and Triggered Joe from the home of the Big House. And we will talk to you guys next week. Thanks for checking us out, and we'll talk to you later. And beat as Air always, Force. Beat Air Force, but also don't get injured in the bye week. Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.